The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. And you, Howard?
Very, very good, thank you. Prime Minister's son is not behaving so well. It's a bit embarrassing, isn't it?
Well, somebody has been a very, very naughty boy. And this is not the first time that Yair Netanyahu has been a very, very naughty boy. But what has happened is that Yair Netanyahu, who is one of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's two sons, and he's 26 years old, was caught on tape basically making disparaging comments about women, which I think he did not hear Oprah's speech, which is absolutely groundbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously he's not part of the Time's Up movement, which is gaining momentum. But basically, he said to one of his friends, "My dad arranged for your dad $20 billion, and you're fighting with me about 400 shekels," because he wanted his friend to spot him some money because they were going to a Tel Aviv strip joint.
Mm. How old is this kid?
He's 26 years old.
Okay, so he's actually not a teenager. 26, it's time to start growing up a little bit.
He's not a teenager. You would think he would know better. He's part of a generation that is social media savvy and technology savvy and understands the ramifications. And he's the Prime Minister's son. So, it begs the question, what kind of punishment do we deal Yair Netanyahu? But yes, he said to his friend, Ori Maimon, who's the son of Kobi Maimon, who is one of the main shareholders in Aramco, who owns the Tamar gas field, that after basically his father ensured that the $20 billion deal could go through, that 400 sheks is really nothing in the grand scheme of things for a wild night on the town.
Which might well be right, except that it is just completely unacceptable. We've seen his bad behavior before. It was a couple of weeks ago that you and I spoke about some of his public comments, and the fact is that everybody tried to distance themselves from it, but he doesn't seem to be toeing the line at all.
And the irony of it all is they heard saying on the tape in this conversation that if news or the details of a conversation got out, it would be hell. So he is aware of the ramifications and the damage that it would cause, but one would beg the question, why doesn't he show a lot more restraint and maturity?
Absolutely. I wonder what does happen to a kid like this. Again, it's not the first time that we're seeing prime ministers and presidents and well-known figures, children behaving poorly. But this can do significant damage, especially because when you talk about your father awarding a business to somebody who's a friend, you start to head into very dangerous territory, especially when there are comments about and very real concerns about Netanyahu and corruption.
Well, this is, it's not a new incident. This incident did take place 2 years ago, and it also brings up the fallout that happened around comments that he made about Ehud Olmert, also a former prime minister's son, also a couple of years ago. But he made disparaging comments about him as well. And as you say, with the Prime Minister facing or potentially facing corruption charges, with the demonstrations happening every second or every Saturday night in Tel Aviv against the Netanyahu government and calling for Netanyahu to step down because of corruption, it begs the question, is there space for this kind of behavior? You or not.
Talking about poor behavior, tell me about an IDF soldier being stoned in Beit Shemesh.
Well, this happened yesterday. In fact, I think you and I spoke offline. But basically, an IDF soldier who was driving in one of the more Haredi or ultra-Orthodox neighborhoods of Beit Shemesh had stones thrown at his car by some of the Haredi, which caused him to lose control of the car and actually crash into a pillar. And thank goodness, he was only lightly injured, but he was taken to Hadassah and Kerem for treatment. And the mayor of Beit Shemesh, Moshe Abutbol, says that he's very, very sad that there are extremists in the city, and this kind of behavior has led to the harm, or the physical harm, of one of our soldiers. And you and I have spoke a lot, especially towards the end of last year, about the relatively small but very, very volatile and almost extremist group within the Haredi community who show complete disdain for our soldiers, for the state. And, you know, this is not to lump all Haredim in the same, with the same label. But this has happened, and we have seen it as well with demonstrations against Haredim having to serve in the army. But in response to this, a number of non-Haredi activists staged a counter-demonstration at the start of the incident in Beit Shemesh, opposing violence and the extremism of these elements within the Haredi community. And as you can imagine, an investigation into the incident has been opened. But Beit Shemesh has been in the spotlight a lot, Howard.
Well, I was just going to say, Beit Shemesh has not been a particularly harmonious city in Israel. We've seen it as being a real hotspot for the meeting of these different worlds, of different levels of religiosity, and it doesn't appear as though people are able to actually get on and sort things out there.
Well, this is a problem. I mean, towards the end of last year, and I actually found it quite incredible and quite fascinating as we see this incredible women's movement. I mean, you might have guessed I am a little bit of a feminist.
Mm-hmm.
This whole movement that, you know, times up, me too. It's the end of harassment. It's the end of gender disparity. It's an end of a lot of issues with regards to women. And here in Beit Shemesh, as you say, where the different levels of religiosity meet, where the different worlds meet, there is a lot of there is a lot of very intolerant discord.
Mm, mm.
There has been a lot of controversy over the last couple of months because women are objecting to the modesty police. There's a sign up around the city that says they need to dress more modest, or they need to dress in a certain way. And it has sparked a lot of debate around the country. You know, what constitutes modest, and why should women be sexualized for what they wear? And why do women who are not ultra-Orthodox, why do they have to dress a certain way in order to appease the men, in order to come into this part of the city? So it has sparked a lot of debate, a lot of discourse, and as you can imagine, a lot of anger amongst Israel's women.
Absolutely a crazy, crazy situation. I do want to read you a comment going back to the Yair Netanyahu comment. I've just tuned in. I believe that this is an attempt to weaken Bibi. It's a story from over 2 years ago. Why do you think they waited to release it? They apparently did know about it and was offered a sale. Offered for sale for thousands of dollars, and the main news channels then refused it. They went after Netanyahu, then his wife. That's not working, and now they're going after his son. They will stop at nothing. What do you think about that, Rolene?
Well, it could be a factor. We know that Bibi and the media right now have a very precarious relationship, so that could be a factor. But it also begs the question that the children of rulers, whether it be Mugabe's unruly lot or Netanyahu's son, you know, when you are in the public eye, you have to be very, very conscious about the way that you behave, because your actions don't just affect you, they affect, in this case, your family, which is the first family of the country, and also it affects the country's image, and it affects it affects society within Israel. So, you know, one would expect at that level, especially since, you know, his father is not new to politics, not new to holding the office of prime minister, that he would be a lot more cognizant of it and behave accordingly. So I think, you know, the fault could lie on both sides.
Mm, mm. Very interesting indeed. Iran says that it might cooperate with the United Nations with regard to them keeping an eye on the nuclear events.
Well, we have some developments in there, and Iran have said that they may reconsider now their cooperation with the UN nuclear watchdog if the United States fails to respect the Iran nuclear deal. We know that towards the middle of this month, President Trump has to make a decision whether or not he wants to sign the waiver with the nuclear bill, how he wants to proceed, and he needs to decide how he wants to proceed with regards to sanctions on Iran. And in October last year, President Trump refused to certify that Iran was complying with the deal, and he has spoken out a number of times, including on his Twitter account, which I know is basically, if you want to know anything in American politics, go to Twitter. And the Islamic Republic nuclear chief, Ali Akbar Salehi, has said that if the U.S. does not meet its commitments within the framework of the nuclear deal, all options are on the table for consideration in Iran.
Absolutely fascinating. Time is 5:48. That's Rolene Marks with the Israel Report. We're going to keep an eye on all of these stories, every one of them absolutely vital and very important that we do. Rolene Marks, we'll chat to you tomorrow.